Many of us like to go places we've never been before. Anybody like to go places you've never been before? I do. And we like to see and experience new things. Dawn and I, a few years ago, had that opportunity when we went out west. We saw many things that we wanted to see our whole lives. We saw both the north and the south rims of the Grand Canyon. We saw a place called Horseshoe Bend in Page, Arizona, if any of you have ever heard of that. It's where the Colorado River actually winds in the form of a horseshoe down in a major cavern. You're way up there. I mean, when you look down, there's people that are on pretty good-sized rafts in groups, and they look about, you know, an eighth of an inch big from where you're standing way up top. We went to a place called Bryce Canyon, where there's what's called the hoodoos. These are basically rows of columns that are kind of rugged in shape, and they're shaped by the weather formation because it's a real soft rock. We saw the Teton Mountains, which are the white cap mountain ridge out there. We went to Yellowstone National Park, saw geysers and hot springs and grizzly bears and buffalo and all kinds of neat things there. Then we rounded up to South Dakota, kind of finished our trip at Mount Rushmore. So it was exciting to see and experience a lot of those sites and taking some hikes and doing some of those types of things. But how many know if we want to go to new places and experience new things, it's pretty tough to do so if we don't know how to get there? Right? There needs to be a map. There needs to be an understanding of what direction you're headed. If you don't know what direction you're headed, you'll get somewhere. We just don't know where. So we need specifics. Doesn't it usually require then some kind of communication in order to know where we're headed? And generally, it's a good idea to get communication from somebody who's already been there. I know when we got to certain places, the locals in the area would be very helpful at times in getting us from place to place where we needed to go. I'll never forget the tour guide to the south ridge of the Grand Canyon. He was quite an animated fellow, to say the least. So it's just interesting. But he did help us go to places and learn things that we would not have otherwise seen or known had we not had him as our tour guide. So we found that very beneficial. So for the most part, in order to effectively go to new places and see experiences of new things, it will require the help of someone who can lead us in the right direction and who can show us how to get to our destination. And the truth is, when it comes to the places where God wants to lead us, we need His leadership as well. Would you agree? It's pretty tough to get where God wants us to go if we don't know or hear from Him about what that is. And so last week, as many of you know, we took a little bit of a different direction than what I had planned originally, which is okay. God's in charge. Amen. So we threw out my notes and we focused on the whole concept of a stronghold. Kyle had shared something that the Lord had put on his heart about something he was reading. He got up here. I'm going to be very transparent with you now, okay? This will show you how spiritual sometimes even a pastor can be or not be. Cheryl Huntley had written down a word and shared it with Jason, because we set up a process now that if you feel you've got a word in the service, I want you to take that to Jason for testing. And if he's not sure, he'll bring it to me, but we'll do that as a part of the process so we can begin to regularly hear from God. How many think that we need to hear from God? Amen. So she brought that word to Jason. He brought it up to me. Kyle's up here talking about strongholds, and as you found out later, I'm sitting here reading this, and I'm not kidding you. I honestly had the thought, did Kyle and Cheryl talk before the service? Because she had written a word that she felt from the Lord for the church related to strongholds. Ask the Lord to reveal, seek Him for how He wants us to overcome, and intercede about it. Amen. So I thought, must be the Lord has. I'm really good about that. I can pick up on clues, right? Okay. So I thought, must be the Lord wants us to talk about strongholds today. So we did. We looked at what a stronghold is, how we can demolish strongholds through God's word, and how we can resist the devil's efforts of building strongholds in our minds. Well, 2 weeks ago, we had focused on how we need to make Christ as our supreme leader in our life, and that we need him to communicate his word to us, and that we need to do some things in order to receive that communication. Amen? So we focused on how we can do that, and the fact that God's word is one of the sources of communication that he has given us so that we can know where he wants us to go, what he wants us to do, etc., etc., etc. So what we're going to look at this morning then is the second source of communication that God has given us so that we can hear what it is God wants for our lives. And of course, that second form of communication is the Holy Spirit. Now, we kind of referred to that because the reality is, over the last 2 weeks, as you notice, we were talking about both the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, because you really can't separate the two. We sometimes have to talk about them separately so we kind of get an understanding of how they actually work together. But the Holy Spirit is the one who illuminates the Word of God as we spend time reading or studying or meditating on the Word of God. Amen? So we need the Holy Spirit to guide us into the truth of God's Word. So he is the second source of communication God has given us. And we're going to look at that this morning, in beginning in John 14, verses 15 through 27. Jesus said this. He says, "If you love me, keep my commands." Now, he was telling this to the disciples prior to his death and resurrection. Amen? So how many know Jesus was already starting to prepare his disciples for what was coming? And they didn't fully understand it all, so he's saying this to him. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." I'm sure they had all kinds of questions about what that really meant. You know, I'm sure they had heard of the Spirit of God, but how would that be different than what they'd ever known before? You know, a lot of questions. So Jesus continued, he says, "The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Oh, now there's a new concept. He will be in us. I wonder how that's going to work. Of course, they found out on Pentecost, didn't they? That's right, okay? He said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also." Now, again, they wouldn't have known exactly what that meant, but what a promise. What a promise. "On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching." How many think he's got something about obeying his commands and his teaching? Amen? You think that's important? I think that's pretty important. "My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are my own." Not my own, thank you. "They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So the Holy Spirit, we see here already, is known as the Spirit of truth. So therefore, he is the one that's going to help us to understand what it is God's Word says. I can't even imagine. You know, I find it kind of comical, quite honestly, when I look on Facebook and I hear people that start talking about the commands of God and these types of things, and they don't understand the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant and how Christ fulfilled the Old Covenant and so on and so forth. And so they'll write things on Facebook when people talk about obeying God's commands, which they're talking about the Ten Commandments, and they understand that that's an outflow of actually the life of the Spirit inside of you, that you're just living and actually even going beyond what the letter of the law says. But they'll put things like, you know, well, you know, if you believe the whole Bible, you know, does that mean you don't mix certain kinds of clothing together and wear them? And they go back into some of these old Levitical laws. Well, how many know these people don't have the Holy Spirit? And they don't understand what God's Word's saying. So I find it comical when people who don't know the Lord try to quote Scripture to people who do. Because without the Holy Spirit, it's just intellectual confusion. Now, there are certain concepts they can get. I understand that. People that can read and can understand concepts. But how many know there are principles in the Bible that go much deeper than just simply intellectual knowledge? Amen? So we need the Holy Spirit. And aren't we glad it also says in this passage that he indwells us as a follower of Christ? I'm glad that he just doesn't go, come and go, come and go, come and go. Never know when he's going to be there. Now, yes, we do need to be filled with the Holy Spirit on a regular basis, but he never leaves us. Amen? He indwells us. And then he teaches and reminds us what it is Jesus taught, what is Jesus spoke. So these are different aspects of needing the Holy Spirit to communicate with us what it is God's Word says. And we also see in John 16, 1 through 7, that in order for the Holy Spirit to come and indwell each follower of Christ, Jesus had to ascend back to the Father in order to send the Holy Spirit. Amen? So look at that. All of this I have told you, so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because, here it is, they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asked, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I go away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So we see from this passage that Jesus is the one who actually sent the Holy Spirit to the world, to communicate the truth of God to us. And that is an important principle in terms of theology, because Jesus was in the physical body. Now the Holy Spirit is in every believer's physical body. We're told that we are, in the Word of God, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? So therefore, we are the carriers of the Word of God. Are you seeing how that fits together? See, the Spirit, this now kind of brings us together. The Holy Spirit is the one who reminds us of what it is Jesus said, but how many know from a few weeks ago, we have the responsibility of hiding what God's Word says in our heart. And so it's like this. Every time you spend time in God's Word, you're making a deposit in your heart. I don't know about you, but I like it when, after I've made a few deposits, my bank account starts expanding a little bit. I kind of like that idea. I like to know there's money in the bank. You know, now again, that's not my God, but we have to have money to live, do we not? Okay, so But with that, if I keep making a deposit of God's word, guess what? If a crisis hits or a need arises, that's when I go to the bank and make a withdrawal. Amen. How many of you ever had times in your life where crisis hit or a need has arisen? Now, I'm not talking a financial need now, but I'm talking something in your life, something by way of relationship. There's something, maybe there's healing that's needed. You know, if we don't have anything stored in our bank account of our heart, then how can we make a withdrawal? You can't, right? But if you do, this is the role of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever had situations you've been in the heat of something, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brought back that deposit you've made in your heart in the past? Amen? And guess what? He's in there, and he knows and sees things deeper within us than we even see in ourselves. And what's amazing to me is we could have deposited something in our heart days, weeks, months ago, and he can still bring that to remembrance, that truth, in the heat of a moment and show us what it is we need to do, how we need to respond, what have you. Okay? Now, I will say this. I think, though, we need to keep making deposits. Because too many times we can get dependent upon those old deposits. And we keep making withdrawals. Right? Well, we need to keep putting deposits back in. So we need to spend time with God and with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what I want you to understand. If you are a child of God, meaning you are a follower of Christ, then what you need to know is that Christ does speak to you. Did you know that? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does lead you, and he communicates with you. How do I know that? You're saying, Pastor, are you sure? I don't know if I've ever heard that the Holy Spirit has spoken to me. Or, well, if the Holy Spirit does communicate, how can I know when it's him? Or how can I know that what I'm really hearing is from him? Have you ever asked any of those questions? All right? Well, we're going to look at them in a minute. But I first want to lay that foundation that the Holy Spirit does speak to you. I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God, all right? Let's look at Romans 8, 1 through 17. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, how many know that simply, in broad terms and specific terms at the same time, is basically just saying, guess what? If you're in Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you. Isn't that awesome? If you're in Christ, then the Holy Spirit is in you. We've already talked about that, amen? But verse 5, so those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So how many know we're talking about an unbeliever, a person who doesn't know Christ, versus a person who does know Christ? It's pretty simple. Heavily theological, but it's simple. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Sounds like he's repeating himself. Amen? How many think it takes more than once to get something? And Paul's just saying, I'm gonna say it a few different ways because I want you to really get this. This is important. Okay? Verse 10, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Now here it is, verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Did you hear that? Now, I find that interesting, because if I would have been writing that, and good thing I wasn't, I would have read it, for those who are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. But notice what Paul puts first. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, meaning it happens, they are the children of God. Which implies that you are, as a child of God, being led by the Spirit all the time. Isn't that interesting? Now, I will tell you that a lot of that has to deal with this whole aspect of the flesh versus the Spirit. How many of you have go through your day, and if you start thinking about or going in a direction that is fleshly in nature, it does not take long for you to know that is fleshly in nature. Now, what happens is we oftentimes may think, oh, that's just my conscience. Well, it's the Holy Spirit accessing your conscience. Okay? He's going, hey, don't go there. Don't go there. Or maybe it's like this. You're going through your day, you're busy, you got things to do, but all of a sudden you sense that your attention's being drawn to a particular person. And you get these weird thoughts like, I should talk to them. Or the Spirit of God may speak to you about something He wants you to say or do or just encourage, something like that. How many of us walk through our day and because of mere busyness, we just dismiss those kinds of thoughts? I want to encourage you, don't dismiss them. The Spirit of God is leading you. He wants you to tune in because He is always leading you, because His heart is always for people. Amen? And so these are just different ways that the Spirit of God does speak to us. Do you hear always audible words? No. But you have to understand that those little premonitions, those little sense of unction, or those little checks, those are all the still small voice of the Holy Spirit leading you. So here's the problem. It's not with the Holy Spirit, right? It's sometimes it's my antenna. I'm kind of out of tune. I'm not tuned in to what the Spirit of God is saying. So we've got to develop that relationship, that sensitivity to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And what we need to understand is that works both in our own lives and in the area of ministry. See, the Holy Spirit is been given to the world for two main purposes. Okay? Number one We've already heard it. It's to guide us into all truth. Okay? The second purpose is to empower us for witnessing and ministry to the body of Christ. And what often happens is that somehow in the church, it's like because we know they're two different things, we often, you know, how many of us, we get kind of, what's the word I want? We segregate things. You know, we isolate things. And we don't do what God wants to do and bring them together. And so what we need to understand is this whole aspect of guidance and power was never meant to be separated. Now, there is a distinction, right? Because when you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of truth enters in. And it's when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit that you receive the power of the Holy Spirit for gifts of ministry, both in witnessing and to the body of Christ. We've done a series about that last year, right? So this is the purpose for which God has given us the Holy Spirit. Well, what we have to understand is that the guidance goes along with the empowerment. See, if you have a gift of the Holy Spirit, one of the nine manifestation gifts of the Spirit, right? So, unction gifts, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, or revelation gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, or discerning of spirits, or power gifts, healings, miracles, right? Those kinds of gifts, gift of faith. When the Holy Spirit wants to operate through you in one of those gifts, you have to understand that the Spirit of truth is going to be operating too. You're going to need to know what to do when He drops that impartation. Because as we learned last year, how many remember that the Spirit of God gives those manifestation gifts as He wills, when He wants them to be exercised. And so we need to be in tune. So even Sunday morning, when we're in here, that's why we're really trying to have a place where we can test the Word of God, because that's what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians to do with prophecy, right? Test prophecy. You know, accept what is good, get rid of what's evil, per se. So when the Holy Spirit starts stirring in here and starts speaking, I don't think I'm the only one that gets a word from God every week. I really don't. Because guess what? Those who are being led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And it says in that same passage that to each one the manifestation of the Spirit has been given. So that tells me that there is, if you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, there's not a single person in here that doesn't have at least one where the Holy Spirit drops in you a manifestation of the Spirit at certain times to minister to the body somehow. And I'm believing that that happens more often than we think when we're out in the world in witnessing. But this is what happens. Not me, Pastor. I'm Mr. or Mrs. Ordinary. God could not use me. Are you serious? I'm completely serious. If you believe the Word of God, you've heard it this morning, the reality tells you that you are being led of the Holy Spirit. The question is this: will you tune in? And will you obey what the Holy Spirit shows you? Amen? So those are the two different roles or purposes of the Holy Spirit. Now, we see that in Scripture, the Holy Spirit operates through the power of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? So you need to understand, again, I just want to keep emphasizing, we've got to be careful that we don't segregate things with the Holy Spirit. See, the fruit of the Spirit is an outflow of growth in your life. Love, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How many know that you're going to be in situations the Holy Spirit's going to say, you need to act in line with the fruit? And our flesh is going to want to do whatever it wants to do. And we're going to have to, what did it say? Those who are of the Spirit put to death the misdeeds of the body, right? So should we always just say what we want to say? Or eat what we want to eat? Or do what we want to do? Uh-oh, I started meddling, didn't I? Right? We need to be led of the Spirit. So it's both in the fruit and in our life, godliness, and in ministry, in the power of the Holy Spirit, all of it. So how do we hear the leading of the Holy Spirit? How do we hear? I've kind of given you some illustrations, right? Some examples when you're actually hearing the Spirit. But I'm going to give you just the simple basics of how we hear of the Holy Spirit. First and foremost is this. It's the written Word of God. That's where you begin. And that's what you test everything according to. It's got to be God's written Word. Anybody ever read something and it flies off the page? Or you felt convicted? Or you felt the Holy Spirit go, I want you to do that. The more time you can spend in the Word, the more opportunity you give the Holy Spirit to speak to you about matters in your life. So again, we can't separate the two, can we? So God's written Word. Other ways that the Holy Spirit speaks, impressions or revelations given directly by the Holy Spirit. A lot of times that will flow out of time in God's Word, but you're not necessarily in God's Word at that moment, but it's something that He speaks or uses from God's written Word to you later. But it can be other things that aren't directly, you know, it's not like, thus saith the Lord, it is written such and such and such and such, but it's that go here, wait, do this, you'll receive that from the Holy Spirit. So He'll give you an impression. Other ways is visions and dreams. God gives visions of the day and visions of the night, which are dreams. I've experienced that. I'm not going to go into the details of it this morning, but I have experienced a dream that was very much a part of leading me into a direction that God was bringing correction to in my life, and I'm so glad He did it. And I'm telling you, it was, maybe sometime I'll share you what the dream is, but I know now I've got you baited, don't I? But just know that He can speak to you in that way. Letter D, a word or revelation the Holy Spirit quickens to your heart through a sermon. I hope at some point under the teaching of the Word, the Spirit of God quickens something to your heart. And it's not just because I'm saying it or some other preacher saying it. It's because the Holy Spirit is taking that and He's going, Ever had that? You're preaching and you go, okay, Pastor, were you just talking about me? Are you pointing the finger at me? No. But the Holy Spirit might be. Right? Okay. A word of revelation, the Holy Spirit quickens to your heart through books or articles you read. Can that happen? Oh yes, that can happen. My entering into the ministry was a result of a word that the Holy Spirit quickened from a book I was reading. It was so specific and related to details of my life, I couldn't believe this book. Matter of fact, I'd read the book in college, and it just for some reason, the Holy Spirit was stirring in me to go back and read it again. And as I was actually in a day of, I was in about a 3-day fast, seeking God for some things. And I went back and I read the first part of the book, and there were details about a date in that book that was so specific to my own circumstances, only that I would personally link the things together. And it was like the Holy Spirit saying, this is the time. This is the time right here. I'm showing you the time. Okay, God, I got it. You know, especially when you're in a season of fasting, so you're seeking him anyway. And it's amazing. I just can't tell you how many times in seeking God through fasting and prayer, which guess what? That's another way you hear the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit brings something to you. So articles or books that you read, how about the same thing? He quickens a heart to a television or a radio program that you hear or watch. Now, some of them, that's probably going to be pretty hard, but you understand what I'm saying, okay? And then prophetic words that someone shares with you. Dawn and I have gotten personal prophetic words that have been spoken over us. Now, usually those are going to be confirmations. They're not going to initiate God's word to you. But the Bible says that everything is established with two or three witnesses, right? So it's important that we be willing to hear what God wants to say through a prophetic word that he gives us through another person. And then finally, conversations with others. Okay? So this is what I want us, and I'm just going to have to, I'm not going to be able to get through this whole thing, so maybe we'll pick it up next week. But this is something I want us to understand when we hear the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit is never going to contradict what God has written in His Word. See, this is where we have to bring the two together. And I want to give you an example of this, okay? A couple examples, actually. Let's say someone says, well, I think the Holy Spirit is leading me to get a divorce. You think that's the Holy Spirit? Now, wait a minute, Pastor. You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand what that other person has done. And I'm not happy. The person I've married isn't the same person I married 2 years ago. They don't treat me like they should. And they don't support who I am or what means a lot to me. You're meaning I should stay with that person? Now, come on. I hope I'm stirring up something in you, some of you. I really do. See, unless there are specific, listen, biblical grounds for divorce, which the Bible only gives two. Unless those two grounds are met, God does not permit a person to divorce the person they've married. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm specifically talking about Christians now. It's not the people in the flesh that are being led by the Holy Spirit. It's the Christians. And we got a problem in the church today because the divorce rate is the same height as it is in the world. Anybody hear application coming? So, the reason God does not permit divorce is this. It's because marriage is a covenant. And guess what? When a covenant is made, God's in on it. So marriage is not just a covenant between a man and a woman. A marriage is a covenant between a man, a woman, and God. That's number one. Number two, God doesn't break covenants ever. Ever. God does not break a covenant. Therefore, the Holy Spirit will not lead someone to do so. Right? Now, again, hear this. The Holy Spirit's leading. Even if there is biblical grounds for a divorce, because a marriage is a covenant between God and those two people, I can assure you the Holy Spirit will not lead someone to divorce. Now, I will say this. God permits divorce. But permitting something is not the same as leading one to do it. Correct? So, God permits divorce under the circumstances of, one, unmarital faithfulness where there's been adultery. And I'm going to go this far. I mean, you're going to find out I have a very strong conviction about the covenant of marriage. But I'm basing it on the Word of God. It's not just because it's my opinion. Okay? I will go so far as to say is I believe that that is not just talking about even where someone commits a one-night stand. Okay, take a deep breath, suck it in, you know, that's okay. Because how many times have we, even in our relationship with God, sinned grievously against Him? Aren't you glad God doesn't go, okay, covenant's broken, I had enough of you, you're out of here. But if we're repentant in our heart, He accepts us back. Now, fortunately, with God, He sees, knows, and understands everything. Not so with a human being. So I'm not saying that we should just say, yep, everything's cool, and now there's, you know, I just let you in and I forgive and we forget all about it, and that's all there is to it. That would be foolish. Forgiveness is given, trust is earned. And how many know when someone breaks a covenant, they got a whole lot of trust to start regaining back? And too many people say, well, God forgives, and why haven't you forgiven me? Forgiveness isn't the issue, my friend. You have violated that covenant between that person and you and God. And for you to think that you can just waltz back in and there isn't some things that you've got to deal with in your heart so that that doesn't ever happen again, I got news for you. And any counselor or any in the church even that tells someone that has been violated against that they should just, you know, just get over it, bunk. Okay? However, at the same time, if a person does make a wrong choice and the Spirit of God brings conviction upon their heart and they are truly repentant, there's the key word. They're going to demonstrate that repentance by realizing just the trust that they broke, and they're going to realize that there's a whole process they're going to need to go through to regain trust and demonstrate credibility back to the person that they violated. Okay? But I will say this, because God sees marriage as a covenant, and because God is a God of grace and a God of forgiveness, I do believe that the party that was violated against, I don't believe that that's going to be the Holy Spirit's all. They're going to say, yep, you've met the commitment, you've met the commands violation, just let them go. I think the Spirit of God is going to lead someone to be willing to go through the process of redemption and rebuilding and restoring that marriage, okay? However, if a person is unrepentant and they refuse to not stop breaking that marriage covenant, then again, do I believe the Holy Spirit's going to lead the other person to get a divorce? No. This is why God permits the divorce, because guess what? The covenant is already being broken and it's perpetually being broken. So it's not like you're going to fix it. So God permits the divorce to happen. Okay? That's one scenario in the Bible. The other scenario in the Bible is a person who is married to someone who is not a believer and they are a believer. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Okay? Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let me give you real quick the just so you know I'm the principles I gave for the unrepentant marital unfaithfulness, you can find in Matthew 5, 31 through 32. We're not going to look at these. Matthew 9, 19, 1 through 12, and Mark 10, 1 through 12, and Luke 16, 16 through 18. Do anybody need me to repeat them again that are trying to write them down? Okay. Matthew 5, verses 31 through 32. Matthew 19, 1 through 12, Mark 10, 1 through 12, Luke 16, verses 16 through 18. Now, the other one related to the believer and the unbeliever is 1 Corinthians 7, verses 10 through 24. That passage basically says this: if you're married to an unbeliever, they want to stay married to you, you stay married to them. Because you're still covenanted between you and God and that person, right? If you're a believer, you're in covenant. Again, it's not just the other person that you're in covenant with. But if that unbeliever does not want to stay and they choose to leave, then the person is permitted to leave. Okay? But here's what I want. I shared all that. I know that's kind of a sidebar issue, but it goes to show how sticky widget sometimes this whole leading of the Holy Spirit can be if you don't line it up with the Word of God. And there's a whole lot of people that are saying, God led me to do things, and I'm going to tell you, if it doesn't line up with this book, that's not the case. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead you. The other one is this, okay? I picked on married people. Let's pick on single people. And especially, I'm going to say, let's pick on some teenagers. Sorry, girls. Here's this one. I mean, it's not just teenagers. It's single young people, okay? And I'm going to end with this. Another example is the Holy Spirit not contradicting God's word related to a single person who wants to be in a dating relationship or engaged or married to someone who is not a follower of Christ. Okay? Let's see what the Bible says about that. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Yoked means bound, right? For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? None, right? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? In terms spiritually, one's spiritually alive, the other's spiritually dead. One's connected to God, the other's separated from God. Okay? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple, right? The Holy Spirit indwells us, we've already talked about that, of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now at this point, and I've heard it before, this is where the young people like to say, yeah, but they're really a good person, and they're kind and respectful and understanding. Or, yeah, but they'll change. I can lead them to the Lord. Come on. Or, yeah, but I don't know any followers of Christ that I can really connect with. There's not really a lot of good Christian options out there. Right? You'd think I wasn't a teenager once. I know. Okay? My question is this: do we honestly think our reasoning and our rationalization is going to change God's mind? It's not going to change God's mind, right? I can assure you the Holy Spirit will not lead you into that kind of a relationship. And just in case you think I'm picking on dating relationships, here's another situation. A person who's a Christian should not go into a business partnership with somebody who's not a Christian. You're asking for disaster. Okay? So this is the yoking that we're talking about. So don't let, especially, and I'm just going to say it to the teenagers or any single person in here, don't let your heart get entwined with someone who is not a believer. Because emotionally, you will feel that connection. You can still, they still have a soul, a mind, emotion, and will. They still have feelings. And you have feelings. And if you start rationalizing the Word of God and you don't keep the boundary set and you start getting close in your relationship with someone, guess what? The enemy is going to come in and start giving you rationalizations just like I said. And you were laughing because I know you've thought of them before. Right? Okay? The Holy Spirit is not going to contradict His Word. He's not going to contradict His Word in relationships. He's not going to contradict His Word in finances. He's not going to contradict His Word about the church, about the marketplace, about the business world or your job, or anywhere. Not anywhere, anytime, about any subject will He ever contradict the Word of God. So we need to be led of the Spirit. And the way we know we're being led of the Spirit is by the Word of God. Amen? So this morning, how many know in order to be led of the Spirit, you got to spend time with Him? You got to spend time in His Word. You got to listen. And so this is my challenge. I did this 2 weeks ago, but I just want to challenge us again. If you personally are saying, Pastor or Lord, I need to make a time where I set aside you and me time. Just you and me. I want to encourage you to really grow in doing that. Amen? There are four voices we can hear. Do you know this? You can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, but you can also hear the voice of the enemy. You can hear the voice of other people. And you can hear the voice of your own flesh, which is, simply put, the appetites that your senses have and the attitudes that you carry around in your heart and mind. That's the flesh. That's selfish in nature. It wants its own way. How many know, there? Anybody ever said, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it? Yeah, there's a song written about that. I'll have it my way. Right? Well, how about we do it the Holy Spirit's way? Amen. Okay? So, if you are saying, Pastor, I need to really do that. I need to make a decision today to set aside that time. I'm going to do that. Then what I want to do is I want to give you something this morning. It's nothing fancy, but it's something to solidify your commitment to do that. All it is it's a little booklet. It says, My Time with the Lord, Faith Thoughts Journal. The pages don't have a lot to write on, but I believe this could be a nice little tool that you could consciously begin to record when you realize the Holy Spirit has said something to your heart. Amen? So it's simple, but it's something concrete that you could use. If you don't want to use it, great. But if you're saying, Pastor, today I really need to get that going. We've been talking about order, health, and growth this year, right? I need to get my time with God in order, and it's out of order. Well, I want you to use this as an opportunity to say, this is going to be my little reminder to spend time with God each day, and record one or maybe two thoughts that the Holy Spirit gave you as you're in His Word and as you're talking to Him about His Word and listening to the Holy Spirit. Amen? So this morning, if you're here and you're saying, okay, I need to do that, then you got to come up here to get a booklet. I'm not coming to you. I want you to make a stand. I want you to make a step. All right? Okay? Come on up right now if you want one of these booklets. I hope I got enough.